So hot. Welcome along to a very special, sweaty episode of the Desert Whale Podcast, episode 12. As ever, I'm Greg.
It's still hot in here, and I'm Richard.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Tommy. Coming up this week, we have Reading, Watching, Playing. It's pretty much just Arkham Knight, though, because none of us read or watched anything. We have some news again, and we also have best boss battles that you've played, or worst boss battles as well. So, everyone ready? Let's crack on.
Go!
Ding!
We're back in the world of the desert whales.
It sounded
like musical, didn't it, actually? It was like, we are back in the world of the desert whales, and we're here once again to fill your ears with delight, more than anything else, I think.
Well, that's what we aim to do.
It is what we aim to do. What have you guys been up to since we last recorded? This is going to be like our new little segment at the start now. What have you been up to? Tell me. Right.
I bet Tommy got pissed.
No, it didn't.
I'm disappointed.
What were you up to instead of your usual?
I took my nephew out on Sunday. I had him for a full day. We went to see the Minions movie.
Oh, good.
It's all right.
Is it up there with Despicable Me?
Yeah, I suppose it is, yeah.
All right, okay.
I'm a bit unsure about it, to be honest. It was really good, but I don't know. I don't know if it's as good as Despicable Me.
Did he enjoy it?
He really enjoyed it. He's only three. Or he will be three next month.
All right, okay. That's pretty good.
So that was pretty cool.
One of these films that got like adult jokes as well as kid jokes?
There wasn't that many adult jokes really, because they're kind of stupid, aren't they, the Minions?
Aye.
They've kind of got that stupid comedy thing going on.
Slapstick.
It's different when you watch Despicable Me, because the bits where they pop up are kind of fewer and far between.
Like the highlights, aren't they?
Yeah, so aye. It's like when they do, you just kill yourself laughing. But a whole film of them. Yeah, it was still really funny.
Alright.
Then I took them in the arcade, we played on the arcade motorbike machines and stuff like that.
Sweet.
Cool. That's actually quite good.
Yeah,
I'll come next time.
Give me a
holler. Who's this? Just ignore him. He might go away.
It's his Uncle Greg.
No. Don't call me that.
So don't call Uncle Greg.
That weird.
Yeah.
He owns a van. I was on holiday from work on Friday because a certain game launched, and then got quite ill all weekend, as it happens. Whenever I'm off work, I get ill.
Stop taking days off work then.
No. it's worth it. So I have pretty much like, all weekend I just sat and played Arkham Knight.
Sweet.
Like not even like but like stupidly all weekend, to the point where on Sunday night I had to put it off because I was starting to get tunnel vision and I got a sore head when I went to my bed, shut my eyes, I could see Arkham Knight. I dreamt about Arkham Knight. I woke up in the next morning, still had a really sore head, still really fucking dizzy. Go to work and that. Every time I shut my eyes for about 3 or 4 days, like from like the Friday to like probably like this yesterday, Arkham Knight, so I could see my head. It was ridiculous.
That's when you know you've got a good game.
Yeah.
Everything else goes out the window and you make yourself ill.
Yeah. Everyone said that. Like, I just sat inside and played the computer and got really ill all weekend. That sounds shit. No, it was awesome.
It was the best weekend I've had in a long time. What was I up to? I went down to see some family with my girlfriend, and had a really nice time hanging out with the niece and the nephew, and went to a food festival, just like loads of local produce and local beers and stuff like that. And
like a farm?
It was in a field, well no, it was at the back of a massive church in like a big field type thing. It was just quite cool, really chilled out, nice weather. And then I started playing Arkham Knight when we got back, and I did about 2 hours on the Friday night and then did 14 hours on Saturday. It was like the greatest Saturday I've had in a long time.
14 hours?
14.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Started at 10, finished, well, I know, because I finished it, I'm on 15 hours because I finished at 1. So
fucking hell.
It was awesome.
Were you having Arkham Knight visions when you shut your eyes?
Yeah, and I got up and started playing again.
Yeah.
this morning.
I done that thing when I was just like, right, Nick, I was like, we need to get tea. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Just let me finish this one mission and then I'll do it.
And then 4 hours later.
Yeah, but she doesn't care about the mission's finished. So I was just like, it's a really long mission.
Just so she doesn't listen to the podcast,
then, eh? I know. She kind of figured it out, though, because she was like, you've caught the guy. I'm like, no, that's another guy.
Aye.
I know.
It was actually the other guy, so yeah.
The good thing about it, though, is the fact that, like, because I've got the PlayStation downstairs in the living room, which is doesn't happen, but when it's Arkham Knight, she loves watching it as well, loves the story behind it all. So I was sitting at one point and she was like, I need to pee, but
I don't want it in case I miss some. I was like,
good, because I'm not pausing it.
I was going to say, I was just like, okay, yep, go up, on you go. And then when she went up the stairs, I was trying to get as much of it as possible. So I could be like, you missed this!
Well, we'll come back and chat more about Arkham Knight in a little bit. But we're going to go into reading, watching, playing now. And Tommy, do you want to go first, or what do we want to do?
I wonder what we've been playing this week.
I don't know, has there any big games came out in the last week or so?
Yes, Fallout Shelter came out on the iPad.
That's what we've all been playing. Fantastic, isn't it?
It's actually quite good.
You can't put it down.
Well, yeah.
Well, I can have a PlayStation on and put Arkham Knight on.
Because yeah. that's what we've all been playing! Alright! Arkham Knight. This is spoiler free.
I was about to say that, this is spoiler free.
So,
because someone hasn't completely got far enough into it to have a meaningful conversation.
Probably like a majority of people.
Oh, fuck off. Everyone sacrificed their weekend to play Arkham Knight.
I was away seeing family, thanks very much. So one might be able to suggest a sacrifice my weekend, but luckily I really like my family. So I didn't at all.
I would have feigned illness.
I had considered it, but I know I played it for ages when I got back, and it's a great, great game. It's a really good game. Picks up just like maybe, is it like a year or so, a couple of years from where Arkham City left off, and
yeah, I think it's a couple of years after.
It must be about that, aye. Because I think Scarecrow mentions how long he's been away for. Mm. Like, he went away in Asylum, didn't he?
He was in the first one.
Aye.
Yeah. But the reference, that's the thing about it as well, there's really good connective tissue between all the games, even the Arkham Origins game.
Mm. That surprised me, because that wasn't them that made it technically, was it?
And they don't even, like, they don't kind of just reference it once or twice or stuff like that. It is there, and it all kind of connects quite well.
Even
when you overhear thugs having conversations about stuff like what happened to Scarecrow back in the Arkham game and stuff. And it's not like totally in your face, like an info dump, and you have to be like, oh, this happened to this person then, and you catch up. It's just little tiny bits here and there. It kind of adds to the whole thing.
Do you feel as well when you get those little things and you pick up on those little things? It's kind of rewarding because you're like, I know what I'm talking about.
I've been there.
I've played that. I know what I'm talking about.
Actually, coming out here today, I had a conversation with one of our pals, and he only picked up Arkham Knight. Didn't play Arkham City, he's having to have asked. Tons of questions about who's this guy and what's happened here and what's this and what's that, and it's kind of like,
is that Neil?
You went there, man. It was Neil.
Yeah, because he emailed me at work. They were just like, who's this guy? And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go. Because this is what he done with Gotham. I don't want to bash Neil on his podcast, but I will.
Take this, Neil.
I said that to him. I was like, don't spoil it. And he used to do that thing about watching Gotham, and he was like, oh, did you watch Gotham last night? No, I didn't. He was like, I won't spoil it for you, and I won't tell you who's in it. But is Jonathan Crane Scarecrow? And I'm like, oh, I wonder who's going to be in Gotham tonight. I won't tell you who the cameo is in Guardians of the Galaxy, but I didn't know that Howard the Duck was Marvel. Yeah, shit like that.
Really?
Yeah, shit like that. So,
hi,
Neil.
But it's picked up gameplay-wise. There's the addition of the Batmobile, obviously, which I thought was super frustrating to handle at first.
Yeah,
quickly got to grips with it. Like you just have to.
You definitely have to get used to it.
Yeah,
if anything, the Batmobile is used a little bit too much.
I would say it's like we actually said that as well. There's about a third of this game is Batmobile orientated, either traveling or challenges or something.
Yeah,
and especially when you get later on, it gets like there's obviously bits like when you're saying, I don't want to say where it is, but there's bits that you've just been to, which is all sort of on foot and all sort of hand-to-hand combat. Yeah. But there's bits later on as well where it's like the Batmobile is like forced upon you. And there's like little sort of challenges where they go, oh, I wonder how you're going to get out of this one. It's like, oh, I wonder, eh? Batmobile!
A few of the Riddler challenges are completely Batmobile-based as well. Or they are completely Batmobile-based, and you just have to do it. And I've done one of the Riddler challenges where the Batmobile, it's a racetrack essentially, but you better have a good handling on the Batmobile before you go into that, or you're in for a world of frustration. It's so hard and so frustrating. You just have to keep on doing it, because it's one of these things that if you do decide to leave it, then you know you have to come back to it at some point to progress. So I sat there for about an hour.
By the way, get used to that. get used to the Batmobile. That's all I'm saying. Because there was bits and there was bits later on, and I was just like, "Fuck off! Just fuck off!"
Well, at this point, I've done like 85% of the story part.
So I've
done quite a lot of the side missions and challenges and stuff. It was tricky, but I got used to the Batmobile pretty quick, I think. I got into the flow of it anyway.
Yeah.
I do quite enjoy the challenges in the Batmobile stuff.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad.
And if there is anything, it is pretty much the only thing you've got to kind of get the hang of.
Yeah,
as well,
that's
everything
a good
else
thing about,
is kind of
yeah.
Everything's been covered before, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that was one thing as well that I felt as well. The game kind of, it didn't really have much of an intro. It just sort of went like, boom, you're Batman. I get involved. And I couldn't remember the fucking buttons. So I was just like, on top of this building, I just jumped off and just like fell. And I was like, Oh shit, I don't remember the buttons. And because I'd been playing The Witcher that much, and the buttons from Batman and The Witcher are completely different.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, kind of like, oh, I'm trying to do a silent takedown on this guy and try and like, kind of like glide in behind him and that. And I was just like halfway gliding, and then just like, I'd forget the buttons, pause the game by mistake, unpause it, and then just fall. And these guys would just go, fucking shoot him, and kill him. And I just kept dying so many times. But that's, once you get used to those, it's exactly the same sort of buttons and gameplay as.
Yeah, it is, aye. It's the same as Arkham City, same as Arkham Asylum and Origins, but we don't speak of Origins.
But I will say, transitioning between the Batmobile, like from being like just Batman on the street to the Batmobile, like transitioning between the two of them is like seamless.
Smooth.
It's
so
like
smooth.
Oh yeah. It's really
takes
cool.
Like 2
seconds. The Batmobile battle mode is quite cool.
It's cool, yeah.
Like, because when they were like, oh, it's the Batmobile, and you have to like chase down, like,
yeah,
at the beginning, you have to chase down the car, and I was all over the place, man. And I was like, I was doing that thing that happens in Man of Steel. Come in, they go, oh, superheroes don't kill anyone, like, Man of Steel doesn't kill anyone, and Batman doesn't kill anybody, but yet they knocks down entire skyscrapers, but no one dies.
Yeah.
I was doing that with Batmobile. I was fucking taking out fucking buildings and going through like hoosies and fences.
I was thinking about this today,
you just fucking bomb it, you just go through anything.
See, at the end of the game, I'm expecting like Batman to be handed a bill and be like, there you go, son, it's now you've got to pay for the fucking damage you caused. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Mind you, when you do go around the city, it seems to regenerate quite quickly. So
it does, aye, it does.
So a lot of good workers out in Gotham City, so.
I was really disappointed because I smashed into the front of a building. Like, it's a building with steps leading down into a garden, and it's got stuff like a big kind of plaque that tells you what the type of building it is.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise that they regenerated, so I was really disappointed when I smashed into it all, like, turning it up to a place in a Batmobile, and then, but then when you come back out, yeah, so
aye.
I saw it there again.
But then once you realise that everything regenerates anyway, it leaves open stuff for you to do. Like, I found myself in a graveyard and I was doing donuts
in the graveyard, just destroying everything. And then it went to a cutscene and came back, and it was all back again. So I was like, yeah, destroy it again.
It'll come back anyway. The battle mode is cool.
If
I didn't have the battle mode, then I really wouldn't have liked the Batmobile, to be honest with you. But the controls are pretty smooth. Well, once you get used to them, and all you really have to accelerate and R2 and square, and that's about it.
I found that confusing. Square being reverse.
Yeah.
I kept hitting L2.
Yeah.
And you go. You transform instead of breaking.
It's a lot of
fuck's sakes at the start, the first couple of hours of that. Like,
also the fact that like down changes equipment. And,
yeah,
like,
I'm not getting.
And
I'm
right changes mission. It's like, so it's your mission, and I go to equipment, and I'm like, where the fuck am I going?
and then I
hit like L1, the Batmobile comes along, and I'm like, no.
I'm not getting that. And the Batmobile remote control as well. But like, when you go remote control Batmobile,
aye,
and winch, okay, and stuff like that, I'm just like,
there's a lot of controls, yeah. And you're like, you find yourself in the rafters, like indoors somewhere, and you'll be thinking to yourself, right, okay, you just swoop down on him, you hit L2 by mistake, and he's like, I can't summon the Batmobile indoors. And you're like, oh, fucking no, I just pressed the button, I just pressed the wrong button, sharp. Right, you can't summon the Batmobile, oh, fucking hell, no.
There was a lot where they got me, man, earlier on, right? It was like, quite near the beginning of the game, where it was like, I basically like drove the Batmobile, done all these massive stunt jumps, killed all this stuff, blew up all this stuff, and it was just like, right, I need to go to the GCPD in the Batmobile. And I'm like, there's a tiny little ramp in front of me, and I can't figure out how to get up it. And I'm like, it can fly, it can drive upside down, it can jump, and I can't get up this fucking ramp. What is going on? I just sat there going like, fuck, I don't get.
Is that when you were going into Ace Chemicals?
Yeah, it's when you're coming out of Ace Chemicals.
The exact one you're talking about.
I was just like, what?
I don't know.
It's really simple to figure out.
Aye.
But I was just like, I don't get this.
Yeah.
Like, I can pretty much do anything in this, and it can essentially, you go over ramps, it's indestructible, but I can't go up this 1 foot drop. Yeah.
Apart from that, I mean, the Batmobile is a good addition to the game, and another obvious good addition to the game is the Arkham Knight, who we're not going to reveal, because I don't know. These two do.
Mm.
And
yep.
I'm just hoping that they don't spoil it. If they do, I think the podcast will be over as far as I'm concerned.
Leave it to after the podcast.
I'll just leave it.
Yeah.
But he has been... he's been cool so far. He has been really good. Like, he's got this like a robotic voice modulator thing that hides his voice, but he's still got an accent.
He talks more than what I thought he was going to.
Yeah, same. I thought he was going to be totally silent.
I completely agree. And to be honest, like, when I text you guys,
I know you're going
to
say
that was the first level he was in, and he talks a hell of a lot, and I was like,
I know who it is.
I know who it is.
Aye, I'm the same. The first thing you met him, I was like, I know who this is. And
really?
I didn't know how they were going to factor him into it.
Aye.
That's the hard me guessing. I was like, how is it? But I was sure it was him.
Aye. I was like, I know who this is. And the thing was, I was so confident, and I thought they made it so obvious, that I was like, nah, can it be?
Aye, that's what had me second guessing myself as well. Because, aye. And anyway, we shouldn't talk about
what?
It.
Aye.
How did you just get it so quickly?
Dude, it was like the first time you meet him, and he's the first couple of lines when he first comes on the big plane.
Yeah, and he speaks
to Batman and that. Batman's like, oh, Alfred! Blah, blah, blah! And I'm like, I know that is. That's my Batman impression.
Blah, blah, blah!
Another thing, I bet you've both done this. Like, see when Batman goes to his little hand, his little arm thing, and it gives you the projection of the face that he's talking to. I bet you've spun the camera around and matched Alfred's face up with Batman's ears.
No.
Every single person, I turn it around, because basically the camera looks at the projection of Alfred's face and then looks at Batman, so I've like matched, turned it around and been like, ah, that's Alfred as Batman. Because he's got...
I've spun it round, but I didn't make that connection.
No, neither did I.
I've done that.
I still can't believe you've figured out who the Arkham Knight was the very first time you met him. That's insane. Well, but you two are much bigger Batman fans than I am, I think. So
I wouldn't listen,
give you a clue, but
don't listen back to the podcast, because I'm pretty sure one of us called it.
Well, I'm not going to then. So there you go. I'm really not going to. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm not going to. Right, I'm definitely not then.
But it was awesome. Even when it got to the stage where I was like, I know who it is, like the way it came about and the way it all sort of happened and that was still really, really cool.
The story in this game's fucking bonkers. You never know where it's going
to
go.
I want to listen to the podcast.
One thing I will say about Arkham Knight that's different from Arkham City and Arkham Origins is there isn't a lot of boss fights.
There's not, that's it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an actual boss fight.
That's what I mean.
You face off against a lot of enemies all at once.
Yeah,
at the end of a level.
Always fucking happens. Like, you just get swarmed the guys. But I don't know what you're talking about. But there's not an awful lot of there's not a lot of boss fights.
I'm only about 55% through the Arkham Knight story thing, and I've been looking through the bios and stuff like that, and there's still a space between like Batman and I think Alfred and Batman or something, and I'm just waiting for Bane to show up, to be honest with you. I don't know if he's in it, but well, he's obviously not then.
Yeah. Well, there's talk about him being in one of the DLCs, but he's not.
Okay.
The thing is, I was quite glad he wasn't in it, because he's been used in every game. He's and the same with Joker as well. Like, when I heard that Mark Hamill was in the Arkham Knight, I was like, fuck off. I know what this means.
And this isn't a spoiler, because it's literally in the first couple of minutes of the game. When you see the what do you call it that makes people go up in flames when they're dead? What's that called?
This crematorium thing. What's it called? What the fuck's it called?
Okay, that thing.
A fire box.
a fire death box.
What call it that? When you see the Joker's face, I was sitting there for like 20 minutes. Well, 20 seconds even, just going like, don't you fucking dare open your eyes. Don't you dare. And then
I was sure he was
like,
going to open his eyes, because I was like, nothing's actually happening. This is freaking me out a bit.
And even when you do start the flames and he starts to burn, I still expected his eyes to open.
I am the same. It was so eerie. I was sitting looking at it and I'd be like, nope. Because I thought I was going to do the whole sort of like, boom. But no, I just got to sit there and I was like,
I did the whole fuck off thing when I forget that again, first 15 minutes or whatever the game, when he turns up.
Aye.
The very first time you see him. But it's not as you would expect him to be. My first reaction was, oh, for fuck's sake. And then I was like, ooh, I wonder what this means, actually.
I was the same, because he turned up and it's like, oh, surprise. And you're like, oh, no. Because I'm not being funny, but that scene's in every Batman game.
Is that your initial reaction?
Yeah, because I'm not being funny, but in Arkham Origins, if you haven't played Arkham Origins, I'm going to spoil it.
I've played them all.
Black Mask is the main bad guy. But it's not, though. It's the Joker. And I'm like, great. Arkham City. Hugo Strange, Ra's al Ghul. No. It's the Joker.
Mm.
Arkham Asylum, it's the Joker. And I was like, please don't make him be the bad guy behind it all.
I know you.
Because that would be shite, essentially.
My initial reaction when I first saw him was like, what the fuck?
Well, I kind of got that later on because I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Why? How is he?
Yeah,
I got a real fright when I seen him because I didn't understand it.
Well, that's it. Aye, that's exactly. Like, how's he here? What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, but then when you start to see how the Joker's used in the game, I think it's really clever.
I think this is the best Joker role in all the games.
It's really, really clever, isn't it? It's really cool.
They found a way to
crowbar him in.
Aye, he's in pretty much.
Crowbar! Aye!
He's totally in the game, but he's woven into it so well.
He is, yeah.
And fantastic. You get to see all the different sides of his characters and his personality that way as well.
Some of the things he comes out with and says as well are really
funny.
I think like when I first started playing the game, you get that bit with the cop and the diner.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then it's a bit with the Joker right after it, and I was like, this is fucking much more darker than the
it's an 18 game. And you can tell it's an 18.
Yeah, straight away it's like you're like,
It's not like a blood and guts 18, but it's definitely a sort of like
it's mature 18,
a psychological 18, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That opening scene actually in the diner, and it's like, oh, that guy's smoking, and it's like one of Scarecrow's little goons. That was pretty like, oh shit, what the fuck?
Yeah, when he turns around and it's like, it's
For it as well. I was like, this is going to be something like still kind of.
Aye, it was good though.
Yeah, it's really good. This is.
Yeah. Right. So overall reaction to Arkham Knight is
that's all right.
Fucking awesome.
Aye, so I'm taking it back. Fuck that shit.
I'm taking it back. I'm going to trade in and get a proper game like Lego Jurassic World.
It was. I'm so glad that I missed whoever called it. I'm so glad.
Mm-hmm.
I legitimately missed that.
Well, there you go, man. There you go.
I really want to know who it is now. I really want to listen to the podcast.
No,
I
didn't
listen to the podcast.
I'm not going to. I'm just good. I'm just going. I want to know. Right. Okay. We'll wrap that up there. And we'll sacrifice reading for this week because we've gone 22 minutes.
So that's fine. I'll just put my four pages in it for 2 weeks.
We didn't want to hear about it anyway. Right. So that's us done. Shall we give that a
wee ding, man.
And ding. Thoroughly recommend Arkham Knight to everybody of all ages and of all body types. Desert Whale Action News, starring Desert Whales. Hello, we're the Desert Whales!
Oh my god. It's the fact that we give you time to think about that.
And this is news.
News. I have news.
Good, because I have none.
News. Aye. I was looking up news today and I didn't even know this was happening, but apparently Big Del Toro, welcome Big Del
Guillermo
Toro.
Guillermo, thereof.
Yep, he has apparently left the DC Dark Universe film.
Stick on. That was always going to happen.
Why?
Why?
Because he's the world's worst for coming out and saying that he's attached to something and he's going to do it, and he gets you all excited about it and then he pulls out.
Spelled in the then he pulls out.
Before the climax. No, well, honestly, yeah. he does it all the fucking time. Like, well, there's this thing. Before that, there was the teaser trailer thing. But even before that, Hellboy, he's been coming out for like fucking 10
years. Ah, that's true, actually.
He's building up a wee reputation for himself as Guillermo del Toro for doing this.
Does he even... Do you think he even cares, though?
I think he does.
He's just that kind of creative guy that, like... He is more creative than, like... He's never chasing dollar signs or anything like that. He's that kind of guy. He's got that kind of mentality. So when something... a shiny thing comes along and kind of takes his fancy to it, and then he gets all involved in it, and then something else comes along and distracts him.
Does he like attention. Golem, then? He just goes after shiny things.
You know what I mean, though, man? It's just, like... These things take so much time and effort, like, if you've got to make a movie, not that, no. Like, I've not made 7 or 8 myself.
No. Speaking from experience.
He's not even made 1, don't let him fool you. Actually, no, you did make one. You sent me that. It was disgusting. I've never seen anything anyone bend that way before.
I thought it was great.
The 3D aspect was brilliant. But I was looking this up, man, and it's actually devastating. No, it's actually, I'm gutted that I didn't know that he was doing this, and now I'm gutted that he's now left it. Because it, apparently in his film, he was going to have Swamp Thing, Constantine, Dead Man, Zatanna, oh man, there's a couple of other folk as well, I can't remember who they were, but the cast that he had and the characters that he had were going to be awesome, because probably 90% of them folk wouldn't know who they were.
No.
And it would bring them in our audience and all that sort of stuff and all that sort of shit. But again, this just proves to me, it's just further proof, and I hate to say this, but DC do not know what they're doing with the movies.
They're just trying too hard to compete with Marvel at the moment. They need to take their own time.
They need to bring something out.
Yeah, but then it, no,
yeah,
that,
that'd
thing,
be
like,
good
they,
as well.
But they need to take their time with releases, because it seems like they're just, as you say, they don't know what they're doing. They're going like, we'll do a Dark Justice League movie. Oh, no, actually, no, we'll do, an Arrow movie. No, a Flash movie. No, I don't know what we're doing. What are we doing?
Cancel them all.
Exactly.
Hire the Rock.
I get him a play. What's he?
He's Black Adam.
Lobo.
No,
oh, no,
Rock's
he has been Black Adam.
But
that's right,
he's like maybe Black Adam in 2019 or something, right, like that, which is like, I mean, funny. Folk could die.
DC, maybe they are just accepting the fact they're not going to catch up with Marvel.
It's really strange.
They've got
a strategy
for it now. They must have a strategy for it. A big company like that.
Having a schedule for like the next, what is it, like 6 years or something like that? DC's release schedule. Marvel never had that shit when they first started. They just had like here's three films. We're going to make Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor.
Yeah, they set the standard though.
And then after that, it was like Thor 2, Avengers, Iron Man 2, and whatever else came after that.
They need a plan, they need a strategy.
They still say when they're going to start to work on something.
Mm.
But like, you feel like you've already seen fucking Suicide Squad, because there's been that many snippets of information and photographs and all sorts of stuff.
No, that's true. That is very true. They're actually talking about Suicide Squad. I read something else about that as well. Apparently, the film was going to be that dark that they've had to have a...
Put lights on?
Yes. Aye, and go outside. Now they've had to have a psychologist guy like on the set to like speak to the actors and that, because apparently the film is that dark.
Cool.
Which I don't know how I feel about that.
It could be bullshit.
I feel like it could be one of those things where they sort of put it and everyone's like, oh, and then when it comes out, you're like, what the fuck is this?
This is how DC are marketing their films. They're saying like, it's that dark. We've had to get a psychologist in to talk to the actors because It's that dark.
It's so dark that our Dark Universe film isn't happening. Yeah, good.
Guillermo del Toro movie man whore.
But I did read this. I don't know how do you feel about this, right? Apparently Jared Leto is trying to get the Joker mindset so much that he was like, when he wasn't on set to begin with, because the filming didn't require him, he was sending the actors things. Apparently he sent Harley Quinn. He sent her a love letter with like a live rat in a box.
Yeah.
And he sent like a hog's head, and he sent like Will Smith bullets and that through the post and stuff.
Yeah.
And now, two ways. One, is he trying too hard?
Yes.
Or two, is he properly going to be fucking amazing?
He is a bit of a method actor in the game.
He is.
Method actors are generally really good at what they do. So maybe he is, and maybe he is a bit of both. He's trying really hard to get into the role, and he is going to knock it out of the park.
I heard he went so far. I heard he crippled a redhead. He went so far as to try to get into the room.
Oh my god.
I don't think that's factually accurate, by the way, just in case.
It's just what I've heard.
It's just what I've heard.
It's a reliable source.
Beat a guy to death with a crowbar. And
read that on Pornhub, didn't you? Because I put it there.
Filmed it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have actually made a film. I'm excited for it. But the thing is, he's fighting a losing battle because he's going to be compared to Heath Ledger no matter what happens.
Mm.
And you're going to have folk who, doesn't matter if he is the best Joker in the world, you're going to have folk that are basically still going to go, Heath Ledger was better.
But that's people potentially with closed minds, because he could be better, and there is room, because Heath Ledger has set a benchmark
for how
that character should be played, and there's nothing that any of us can say right now to say that he's not going to do a better job.
Yeah.
He might not. We won't know. But we won't know until we see it.
No,
but,
yeah. I mean, Heath Ledger, when he was going to be the Joker, everybody was like,
that's that gay guy who broke Batman. Yeah.
It's the same.
I still think I hate about you, sort of thing.
Yeah, like, he was in Night's Tale.
nobody could be better than Jack Nicholson. He was a fucking man.
Right.
He comes out and he's just like amazing.
Here's another bit of news, and that's actually, I really like this. It's so simple, but it's, I think it's quite effective. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 has a title.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
You read this?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2. Love it. There you go.
Yeah.
There we go. Absolutely brilliant. I've got two other bits, actually. These are kind of related. Seth Gordon, do you know who that is?
Yes.
Do you?
I think so.
I don't know who he was. He's a director, and he was apparently doing the Uncharted film franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I read this.
He's thing. Now left. Because apparently Sony have wanted to change the creative team again and slash the budget, so he's basically telling them to fuck off. So they don't they don't know if it's going to even happen now.
I would be okay with it not happening. To
Uncharted.
Be honest with you. It seems like it's one of these games that it works as a game. You don't need to make a film out of it.
They already do that because they made Indiana Jones. Isn't that just like the same?
Well, that's what folk were saying, but the thing is, Indiana Jones got pish because the last Indiana Jones film was terrible.
Well, yeah, it did, but
and this is a gap in the market. Like Uncharted could come along and take over that action movie sort of
adventure film type.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it could take that gap in the market, but it seems again that, well, honestly, again, it just seems that Sony have kind of messed it up a little bit. I mean, it might still happen.
If it does, cool. If it doesn't, fine. I'm not fussed either way. The games are good enough as they are. So,
well, also everyone was saying about they're probably gutted that they waited so long because they could have got Chris Pratt to play Nathan Drake, because of course apparently Chris Pratt's like the man now. One thing I will say about this, actually, and this is one thing I want to barge in here with, is Chris Pratt. I loved Guardians. I thought it was brilliant in Guardians. I watched Jurassic World. I'll keep my opinions to myself on that.
He thought it was shite.
I did. But he plays the same character.
Really?
He plays a watered-down, humourless Star-Lord in Jurassic Park. Man. And I don't know if he's maybe been, not typecast, but I don't know if he's going to get hired to keep playing the same kind of person.
So it's just like his personality. He still seemed the same sort of person.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen him in interviews and that. He seems really fun. And he's a really cool guy. And that does come across in his characters, apart from Jurassic World, because it was just a mysterious pale of shine. Right? I think I'd be more hard on it because I keep reading how good it is. And I've read loads of folk that basically say, I don't think it's that good. And they've got justifiable reasons as to why it isn't good. Right.
Your reason is, I just didn't like it.
And my reason is, basically taking all the reasons into account and being like, yeah, they're totally right. They've basically summed up what I'm thinking. But folk are just like, yes, I made it. Anyway, this is news, not fucking not Jurassic World
bashing.
Last bit of news I've got, and this is again related to Sony, is apparently Last of Us 2 has been leaked.
The Last of Us 2?
Yes, it has. Apparently Nolan North, who played David, who voiced David in the first game, the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers, by the way, if you haven't played that.
Cheers, man. Thanks.
No worries, man. yeah, apparently
both of us now have done that. There you go.
Oh, come on, man. The Last of Us has been done. Yeah, just
same kind of
stuff. Shit, right, okay,
carry on. Apparently, Nolan North, the guy who voices David in the first game, has said that The Last of Us 2 is in development.
Sweet.
He's also apparently also on LinkedIn. There was a developer who actually on his profile had put working on Last of Us 2. And people have seen it. And he was like a sculpture for it was like a head sculpture for a month or whatever. And people have picked up on this and he's been like, "Fuck!" He's removed it and all that sort of stuff. So yeah,
fired.
Last of Us. Yeah, probably. Aye. Yeah, that. They're just like, this guy's a fucking genius, marketing genius.
it's not happening, honest.
It's not happening. But Last of Us 2. How do you feel about that?
I'm all up for it, to be honest with you. It depends on the story. I enjoyed the last game so much, though. I'd love to revisit that world.
I think I'm probably more leaning towards it being probably liking it. But I think half the battle with The Last of Us, why I liked it so much, was because the ending wasn't your typical ending.
It's quite ambiguous.
And that's what I like. Having to think about it and being like, oh, what if, what if, what if, what if. I don't want somebody to be like, see that big what if ending we gave you, aye? Why don't we just fucking spoon feed you the rest of it? And then here's another story and a continuous bit of it, because I don't think it needed that.
I agree with that, and I would like to see, if they do that, then don't spoon feed the rest of it, knock it out of the park in the first 5 minutes, and then get to it with another part of the story, maybe, but an actual cure.
Or do you think we should get two new characters? Or another character?
Well, they would have to play them very well. They'd have to write them very, very well.
Well, I mean, the thing is, when you played the first game, the characters were wrote so well that you ended up loving them by the end of the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They were written fantastic.
Yeah,
they were written fantastically well, and if you do the same job, cool.
I think the only thing I can think of with regards to that is like with the Far Cry series. I never actually finished Far Cry 4. I was buzzing for it to come out for years and months and days and seconds, and then when it came out, I never actually fucking finished it because it was the same game. But the bad guy in that, because the bad guy in Far Cry 3 was fucking ace, and everyone was saying how it was like the best, one of the best villains made. And then obviously Far Cry 4 is a completely different setting, different characters, different villain, whatever. And they were like, oh, it's going to be the same sort of bad guy. He was cool as well. They've managed to write him well enough that you kind of look at them both at the same and be like, okay, not one of them doesn't outshadow the other, if you like. So if you had the Last of Us characters and then got more characters,
you have faith in the guys that write it.
Yeah, pretty much. I think you can have
faith in Naughty Dog to do another good job on it, because they just generally do good jobs on games. Naughty Dog, they're a great developer.
I would love to see Last of Us 2 starring Crash Bandicoot. That would be fucking awesome. Or he's a boss or a bad guy or something.
No, he's the main character.
Well, right, okay, yeah, cool.
I loved Crash. He was good.
That's good. Have you got some news coming?
I've got a tidbit.
A what?
A tidbit of news. Oh, yeah. they've came out and said that
who?
After they said who the Punisher was cast as for
Daredevil.
They've came out and said that the season 2 is going to be Daredevil versus Punisher.
Awesome.
But I mean that was awesome. But that's what they've came out and said.
So Punisher is essentially going to be the villain in the piece.
Yes. I don't think he's going to be the main villain,
because the conflict is still going on with Kingpin.
I'm hoping.
Well, surely
there'll be a continuation. They'll maybe share a bit of it together. Like, you won't see as much of Kingpin because he's still behind bars, but he's trying to manipulate stuff from there.
Potentially.
And then
maybe
Punisher's on the streets. I mean, you could speculate all day, but it will be cool. It'll be very cool.
I think it will be. Do you think will they play it in a way that this will lead to a Punisher spin-off?
Because I always thought he worked better when he just pops up in other people's books, because he causes conflicts between heroes because he's got a different view in morality and stuff like that.
Because he's fucking mental.
Because he's fucking mental, and he wants to kill everyone.
Dies.
And that causes more problems and a more interesting story when he's coming into conflict with other superheroes who have got.
Because I was thinking when they said the Punisher is going to be in a TV show, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'll sort of cast my mind back to the Garth Ennis run, The Punisher. Mm-hmm. Did you read that?
Yeah.
That was sort of standalone. That was quality. Mm-hmm. If they basically took that and then just sort of moulded that into a TV show, I think it would work.
The only problem I could see with that is that you would have to humanise the main character, Frank Castle. You'd have to humanise him enough so that audiences could relate to him. And in doing that, you'd maybe lose the point.
Maybe, aye. But I suppose TV, but the thing is, TV shows, you get a lot more time than you do in a film. So
yeah,
you could give that whole kind of soft, not soft side, because it's Punisher, but you could give him that more sort of human side and then spend about a 20-minute scene of him just fucking slaughtering folk. And you could be like, yeah, this guy's fucking mental.
Yeah,
still mental.
As far as it goes, I'd prefer to see him in this season of Daredevil just being an absolute cunt.
Oh, he's just got the C-bomb.
C-bomb.
Fuck's sake.
That's your first ever C-bomb.
Yes, you're right. How many episodes now?
We should get a C-bomb alarm.
C-bomb! C-bomb!
It's just the bell. We used the bell for everything.
I think it's the heat in here that's
oh, man, yeah. We're in my attic today. And for some reason, Scotland is ridiculously hot. Why is Scotland hot?
It doesn't happen. It never happens!
No, it doesn't sun. Even look warm. There's no sun.
It's so hot.
What the fuck? What has happened?
I think it's if anyone's listening from like the States or anything, I'm saying we're total pussies because there's only like 24 degrees or whatever it is.
Man,
that's
ridiculous for us.
That's enough to fry an egg in a car over here.
This is the kind of country we need a summer jacket. You should never need a summer jacket, but in Scotland you need a summer jacket.
I've got a summer jacket. It's a sort of place where if it's blazing hot sunshine and you're going out for a picnic, you still take an umbrella.
Yes. And they go, why have you got that? And you'd be like, you'll see. 10 minutes in, pisses with rain, you go, told you.
Told you.
There you go.
Umbrella. Crowd under!
Yeah, what do you call six weeks of summer? No, what do you call 6 weeks of rain in Scotland? Summer. Kind of ruined that by giving it away, but it's the fucking heat, man. It's the heat.
It's the heat, and because of the heat, I brought no news this week, so...
You should be ashamed.
It's the heat!
He hasn't finished Arkham Knight. He's got no news.
I didn't bring news because I was playing Arkham Knight.
But yeah,
so that's a good enough excuse.
Right, that's fair enough. Right,
I'll decide.
Should we leave news here?
Yes. Yes.
Man, the Betty Swallocks in this room. Slow motion bell dinging.
Bye, dang. Now, we've said it once and we'll say it again. We spoil you on this podcast. We really do. So here's another new feature that we've got. And it's a simple feature for simple people like us. And it's because we've been playing Arkham Knight relentlessly for the last week or whatever, however long it's been out, it got us thinking to what are the best and what are the most infuriating video game boss battles that you've had in recent memory. And this is going to take turns going around the table.
Cool.
Gia Gijin. Gia Gijin. Infuriating one.
Right.
That's what we're going to do.
I'll start, because my boss battle is glorious. It's okay. A glorious boss battle. This is a boss battle that was so ahead of its time that even now is still like memorable, and people will be like, oh, fucking yeah. It has to appear in any boss battle ever, and it's Metal Gear Solid Psycho Mantis.
Oh, man. You took that off my fucking list. That's like the first one I thought of. Like,
That was fucking bonkers. You played Metal Gear Solid? No, you never played Metal Gear Solid. Good.
So spoilers for Richard.
I was expecting Richard to kind of go, oh yeah! I turned around and he's like, I've never played this.
Nah. You can add that to the list of stuff right. That I should have played, okay. Read, watched.
PS2. Cash your mind
penis
back.
Penis 2.
You had two penises. No, cash your mind back. PS2, right?
Oh, good console.
PS1, I remember.
I think it's PS. Is he in the first game or second game?
Right, okay, I see where this is going. You might have a different battle against the same guy.
Don't think so. Okay, anyway, so he's on PS1 or 2.
On PlayStation.
It was PS2, doesn't matter.
Anyway.
Doesn't matter, right? On PlayStation, Metal Gear Solid, Psycho Mantis. So, you're playing, you come in, he looks creepy as fuck anyway. He's a guy who levitates, he's pretty much wearing a bondage suit, and he's got a gas mask. Right, but he's psychic, and what he done was, as you were playing him, he would read your memory card and would make comments about saved games that you had on your memory card.
How would he do that?
It totally breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah, he's just trying to make out the characters like telepathic.
Totally psychic, right?
So what, you would have like a FIFA save or something?
I think it was
like,
only
I think it was only
Konami games, but he would go on and like recognise the games, and he would basically tell you, and he would also comment about how many times you've saved the game. Right, as you're then playing him and try to defeat him, he would levitate around the room, and he would like throw things at you like a poltergeist, like in telekinesis, and that. He would throw like bits of objects and that at you. He would then just randomly reverse your controls, so your controller would just like start like vibrating, and all your controls would be reversed, and you couldn't control your character.
That's so cool.
He would then, if you managed to figure that out, he would then just make your screen go black, so you couldn't see anything. And then would speak to you whilst people were kind of like, oh, you can't see anything, blah, blah, blah. Because the whole idea was he's meant to be reading your mind, so he can read the character's mind. And the only way to defeat him, and this is still genius, absolute genius. The only way to defeat him is to take your controller out of port 1 and put your controller into port 2 so that he can't read your mind. So the game works with your controller in port 2, but he no longer can read your mind, and then you can defeat him. And he's actually,
which is a head fuck.
Which is totally a head fuck, because I was young when I was playing that, and there was no internet. You couldn't just Google it and be like, oh, how to defeat Psycho Mantis. I was sitting there for weeks until one of my pals was like, baby, take your controller out. Oh, good day, cheers. But after that, it was relatively simple. But it was the whole thing. It was the whole fourth wall breaking down, man.
You couldn't understand how to beat him, because you had to think like completely outside the box.
Yeah,
you had to think of something that you'd never actually done before.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Like, that was beyond you.
I think you're right. I think it's Metal Gear 1, PS1.
PS1. I remember as well, like at one bit he says like, "I'll show you my power" or something like that, and he tells you to put the controller down.
Aye.
A DualShock controller with a rumble. So you put the controller down, or if you do it or whatever, and then he just starts like making it shake. Well, the rumble moves it across the floor or something like that.
Oh,
it's like,
cool.
You're like, what the fuck?
What the fuck, man?
That's amazing. I mean, imagine figuring that out on your own and nobody told you. You would feel like, right, I never have to play another game again. I'm a genius.
Yeah.
I'm a genius.
I feel like we must have figured it out ourselves. But it took us fucking ages.
I remember someone saying something about, like, because Meryl was there as well, and the lassie Meryl was there, and he used to kill her. Or she had a life bar as well, and I'm sure he used to kill her. And there was a way of like figuring out, but I think it was in the instruction manual. There was something to do with her, and something in the instruction manual. But I'll be honest, I was a cheapskate and I had the game chipped.
I never had an instruction manual, so I had no fucking idea what I was doing. Psychomantis. I bought the game as well though.
No good.
About 2 years ago. but yeah, man, best boss battle. Oh, and it was time.
Absolutely. Totally agree, 100%.
Right, well,
scratch that one off my list.
And I'll add that to my list of things I should play, see, do.
Just Google it. Blah, blah, blah. Just put it on YouTube.
Alright, I'll do that. Yeah. Right, I'll follow that up with a really frustrating one. I'm sure I've said this before. I might have been on like the second podcast or whatever that we did, but Dead Space 2,
yep.
The final battle in Dead Space 2, and the bits preceding that were, I still think it's a medal if you can complete that. I still think it's the hardest.
You should be knighted.
if you could, man, it's so hard. It's so, so hard. Like, you have to do this thing where you, like, you wake up in a, or you get to a room and you have to do something where you do, like, you have to, like, do eye surgery on yourself. And then once you're done with that, you're stuck in this room with this big, massive monster thing that you can shoot it and it'll fall over and you'll think it's dead, but it just keeps on getting back and it's totally invincible. You have to work out how to get out of the room, then make your way through all of these little corridors and all of these alleyways and stuff like that, defeating tons of monsters while this thing slowly walks up behind you. And if it catches you, yeah, like,
well, so you're done
for. Well, you're done for. And you just have to keep putting that down, put all these others down. And the point of that is that you're having to build up ammo, because once you get that done with that, you move on to the final boss, who's like a psychic one-hit kill type thing. So you're on this rock in the middle of space, and basically you just have to keep on running circles all the way around this rock, killing the most annoying little runner bad guys in the game as they run behind you, where she keeps on generating them and chucking them at you. You have to kill them to get ammo, and then there's like stops where you can get one shot in, and it takes fucking forever. And it almost took me a breaking point in that game. Honestly, like, I walked away from it so many times, went back to it, and eventually when I completed it, there's still a bit after it that you have to, like, you have to fly out of this cylinder, and it should be the easiest part. And after having completed that, you should be able to do it no bother. But the first time I did it, I flew in a piece of debris and died, and I was like, are you fucking sending me back? You
are not sending me back.
And I had to like
chuck yourself in there.
But luckily it just puts you down at the bottom of the tank again. I was like, I was shit my pants. But that is infuriating. And if
that sounds quite infuriating.
It's hugely, massively infuriating.
I've also played that game.
What did you think of that boss battle in Dead Space 2?
Scooshed it.
Did you really?
Scooshed it. Yeah.
You didn't.
I think I did, man. I did, but I don't know, because you can upgrade different weapons and stuff in that game.
I thought it was so hard. Like, it was ridiculously hard for me to complete. It's terrible.
Terrible. There you go. Medal, though, so. You got a good one, bad one.
Good one.
You want a good one? Shadow of the Colossus. You ever played that game?
Do you know what, man? Criminally, I haven't. I've played about 10 minutes of it.
Right, alright.
And that was about it.
Right, every level in Shadow of the Colossus is a boss.
Yeah.
And you just have to find the boss and then work out how to take him down. And I played it on, I can't remember what platform, but it was when it first came out.
It's a sequel to Ico, isn't it?
So it was the same.
PS2, because yeah. Ico was a launch title on PS2.
Yeah, it was PS2. And I didn't have the internet in the rented flat that I rented at the time. And I got it from the video shop, another rental.
Total rent boy.
Tell us more, Father Time.
And played it over the weekend, and it just was amazing. Like, a great gaming experience. But I've spoke to loads of other people who are like, oh, that game's crap because it doesn't tell you what to do. You don't know what to do.
It doesn't tell you what to do.
It doesn't tell you what to do. It's like, it is strange in the way that it just kind of leaves you to take it on with it, but
yeah,
it's amazing. So every single level is a boss, and every boss is fucking brilliant in that game.
That sounds quite cool, actually.
Yeah,
I played it for 10 minutes at that video game thing, yeah, in the museum, because I remember being like, oh, this is meant to be unbelievable, and then sort of put it on and was like, this game seems to be far too big to play for like 10 minutes. Yeah. So I basically rid a boot and a horse in a circle for about 10 minutes.
It's the sort of game, like, it'll suck you in or it won't. Straight away, and then if it does, then you're.
I'm quite bad at going back and like revisiting old games now.
Yeah,
I'm quite bad for that. Like,
bad in a way that you keep doing it. Like.
No, bad in the way that if it goes on and it looks shite, I'm just like, no.
as you were saying with Final Fantasy last
time. Final Fantasy, right, like that. Yeah. But, okay.
So you're infuriating now.
My infuriating one is one that a lot of folks seem to have problems with, and other folks seem to just fucking scoosh it, as Tommy says. And see what you think. I guarantee Tommy will be like, oh, I nailed this. Don't know what you'll be thinking. Arkham Origins, Deathstroke.
Scooshed it.
No. Man, I was one of these guys who just couldn't fucking figure it out, right? And it was like, counter, deed. I'm like, but I'm countering. And it's like, but you're dead now. And I'm like,
the timing, when you're doing the rapid staff hits.
And what the thing was, you had to like use the grapple hook thing to grab the flammable barrels and bring them across. Now, I didn't ken this. So I basically tried it and died and tried it and died. No, actually, I tried it the first time and went, oh, cool, Deathstroke's here. Died. Second time, cool, this is still quite cool. Died. Third time, okay. Fourth time, fucking hell, what is going on? Fifth time, sixth time, seventh. About the eighth time, had to be cry, put it off. Ninth time, came back, just gritted teeth, veins popping out my head, everything, I just couldn't do it. Could not do it. And I didn't want to look it up, how to figure it out. And eventually, I looked it up, seen how to do it, and I was raging at myself because I'm a fucking tard. Yeah. Basically, I was like, how did I not get this?
So obvious.
But to this day, I still like. And if you Google it, there's loads of folk having problems with it. Like, how did I beat Deathstroke? And folk are just like, fucking get some gaming skills, eh, noob? I'm like, that's helpful, too.
Thanks, man. I don't think I scooshed it at first. I think I had a few attempts at it.
And then you scooshed it.
And then I scooshed it. And I'm sure I got an achievement for countering on every single one of his moves in the battle.
Yeah, you do.
I'll go ahead. Like if you, no, I wouldn't. I'm not an achievement guy.
I'd quite like it.
I go out of my way not to get achievements, actually. So if it says complete the game on hard, I will not do it. That's a moral victory.
Yeah. It's a matter of principle.
That is it.
Yeah. Right. A good one. Just tremendously satisfying.
I know what you're going to say. Carry on.
Tom?
No, we couldn't. Can I get some sort of.
Are you going to say Poseidon for God of War?
He's one of them.
Yeah.
He's one of them. I was going to say God of War 3. Every boss battle in that game is just massively satisfying. Once you get to grips with who you're fighting and how to defeat them, the way that the look of the game, the controls, it's a button basher and everything. It's like dodge batter, and that sort of thing. And I just
hack and slash, really.
Yeah, but the way that you have to hack and slash, like when you have to dodge this and then you have to beat this part up and then you have to dodge this and beat this part up, because like Poseidon in God of War 3 is this, it brings this massive, I think it's a Kelpie thing out of the water, and he's like controlling these two big horse heads, and they're like it's like a massive horse spider thing, and it's trying to kill you as you're, because it's got the big claw things, and it's trying to kill you, and you have to like batter its claws and then work your way up to the head and like start killing that as well and pull its teeth out or whatever you have to do. But it's like, it was amazing. And then like you go into Hades in God of War 3. You've played God of War 3, haven't you?
Unfortunately, I've not played one.
Add that to your list.
I played the other two.
Add that to your list.
It's coming out soon on PS4.
Aye, it's remastered, isn't it?
Hades in this one as well. Like the boss battle takes like 20 minutes, half an hour with Hades, and it's a couple of different environments where you're in like a pit with him, and you have to dodge the way out of these massive big barbs of thorns and stuff like that, and you have to go in and batter him, and he's like four times the size of you, and it's just amazing.
Is it really cinematic, basically?
Yeah, absolutely. Because of, like the quick, what are they called? The quick time sections as well really, really help that along.
A lot of folk don't like quick times, but I don't mind it if it's used sort of sparingly
it fresh.
There's quite a few quick times in. There's not quite a few, but there has been quite a lot in the Batman series. Quick time events, kind of like beat down at square.
But
I don't mind them so much.
The quick time events in God of War, like, because they're so cinematic and everything as well, it just looks great while you're doing it. You've got your battles with Poseidon, with Hades, with Zeus. At the end of it as well. It's all the fact
that they're all gods, man. The fact that as soon as you say the name like Zeus or Poseidon, you instantly think they're going to be the most powerful thing in the world. So I bet Zeus is like sort of fighting them is quite.
Zeus's battle as well is It's awesome.
Aye.
It's class.
I googled this earlier today, like best boss battles, and that came up.
Yeah, Zeus is class, yeah. That one's tremendously satisfying.
Cool. We'll get on to that on the remaster.
What have you got left? Have you got an awkward one?
Have I got an awkward one?
Well,
is it awkward? Let's see his pants.
This just got awkward. I'll tell you something that I don't like in a boss battle. I'm not picking any particular ones, but I know the type of games that they're normally in. Kind of cheaper made games, licensed from a film games.
All right.
Kind of the official game and stuff like that. It's when you get to kind of the end of it, and instead of giving you like a new boss to fight, like say it's like five stages and you've defeated four bosses on the way there, they'll just make you fight the first four bosses, but like
again,
like one and then another one.
Mega
another
Man
one,
does
and then
that.
Another one, or maybe they'll do like two and then two.
I think games that do that.
My head in.
Mega Man does that. Every single like NES Mega Man game where you choose like there's the eight robot masters and you have to get through their level and then you have to defeat them at the end of it. And then every single time when you're in like Dr. Wily's or Dr. Wily's castle thing, the last bit before you get to Dr. Wily, you have to defeat all of the robot masters again, all in a row.
Fuck that.
But by that point, you're supposed to have worked out what their weakness is, because each robot master gives you a skill once you beat them, and it's another robot master's weakness. So you have to try and work it out. So you should be able to go in there and defeat them.
It's
with
like rock, paper, scissors.
But man, it's like when you don't know the weakness, it's so hard.
Chemical Game has done that. There was had potential in that. It was one of the Borderlands 1 DLCs. I remember playing it, and you fought one of the bosses on it, and they were like, "Oh, here's a boss," and you kill him, and then they go, "Ah, just kidding, he's not dead." Bah, and he just comes back again.
Yeah.
And then you fight him again, and then he goes down, and they go, "Oh, he's not dead!" And he transforms into this big fucking huge big monster, right? Okay. And then you kill him, and then it dies, and then they go, "Ah, he's not dead." Nah, just kidding, he is, and it ends.
I thought that was quite good.
I quite liked that because it was that thing where me and my mate were playing at co-op. The fourth time we came back, or the third time, whatever, how many times he comes back, the last time we came back, we both turned to each other and went, "Fuck this! This is that's a pretty funny good die."
That can be mega frustrating, especially if it was frustrating the first time around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all these games, like, I don't know if you ever played like the Deadpool game.
No,
for
Xbox. I heard it was good.
It was all right, man. Gets on your tits after a while.
It's a glowing review.
It's just the non-stop banner, the Deadpool banner. It's the same reason why I didn't really like reading the comics and stuff as well. It's just like, it just gets on your tits, basically, after a while.
I can imagine that would get quite great after a while if you have to hear him talking
all the time.
Plus recycling jokes that you've got.
I think it's also because whenever I hear him or see him now, I just think of Ryan Reynolds, and that annoys me.
Aye?
I don't know why.
You don't like Ryan Reynolds?
I've got nothing against Ryan Reynolds. I just didn't like him as Deadpool, and I didn't like him as Green Lantern, because Green Lantern was terrible. He just associates with... Oh my god, never mind. Never mind.
It's so hot,
I can't even think.
Should we leave it there? I'll go and have a cold shower tonight.
A team bath.
Aye, team bath, actually.
My bath's really small. I've been got all three of us in it. It'll be very impressive.
If you lie on the bottom,
we can do this.
You had me as it's too small.
It's too small. Team bath.
Because we'll all squish in together.
Squish.
We'll all squish together.
Squish.
Well, that was very hot and sweaty, I think we can all agree. And not the good kind of hot and sweaty.
No, it's not.
With three guys in an enclosed room is maybe some guys' thing, maybe not.
Well, it's not my kind of thing.
Let us know on the Twitter.
Let us know if you like hot sweaty men.
At Desert Whales on Twitter, at the Desert Whales on Instagram. Email us thedesertwhales@gmail.com. Facebook, search for the Desert Whales. And there was one more thing that we were meant to do, and I can't remember.
What?
One more social media thing.
Instabang.
That's something different. I've got that.
Not a Desert Whales. That's just a Greg.
I got in trouble for that.
All right, Greg's made our Desert Whale Grinder profile as well.
So. Yes, I have.
Cool. That's
I don't even know.
I'm not sure it'd be your bag. But nah. Look it up anyway.
I will. Has it got hot sweaty men in it? It does, eh?
Probably.
Yeah, good. Right. I shall get involved.
Right. Cheerio. Until next time, where we'll discuss things that aren't hot and sweaty.
I think that this podcast has been so good that it deserves a round of applause, but it hasn't been that good, so it deserves one clap.
One clap each.
Oh yeah, we can do one clap each. I'll do mine again.
That's two claps. Four claps.
There we go.
Cool.
It gets the clap. Just dig it.
It's so good it's giving us the clap.
Oh shit.